invite Wendy up to read the scripture.
Please remain standing if you are able for the reading of God's holy word. Our scripture reading this morning is John 3:16 through 21, and it can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1650. I'll give you a couple seconds to find that reference. Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Here ends the scripture reading. This is God's holy word. You may be seated.
Thank you, Wendy, for reading the scripture for us this morning. It is hot in here, yeah? You guys are like, can we just get this over with because we want to get outside and get some fresh air. I'm with you, kind of. I remember it clearly because it happened just this last Christmas. Savannah, our oldest, is a raving fan of all of the Harry Potter books, and then all of the Grindelwald, the Fantastic Beasts books and movies, and she wanted the screenplay for these books. And as we're gathered around, it's customary in our household to open one gift at a time. The stockings, that's just like a mad dash. That's just complete chaos for like 5 minutes. But then when we get to the regular present opening part, it's a one by one, each person opens a present, and then we all just kind of sit there as a spectator and watch to see what happens. Now this can be a wonderful thing or this can be a horrendous thing, because if you don't like the gift you're given, you are on full display in front of everyone as to how you're going to respond to that. You're like, oh, thank you, it's foot powder. Exactly what I was asking for. In this case, for Savannah, as she was opening up this present, you could see the joy and the excitement begin to boil and begin to get more visceral, more real, more alive. And as she peeled back the paper, the wrapping on this present, the joy just exploded out of her in a way that I've never seen before. Incredible joy as she looked at the screenplay for one of these books, and she just started shaking, noticeably shaking, and her voice started quivering, her eyes got bright and they started to tear up, and her smile engulfed the rest of her face, and she just was ecstatic to the point where she couldn't hold still. And as I'm watching her, I start laughing at the joy that she has as she receives this gift from us. It's incredible that when we watch someone open a gift that they truly enjoy, that they truly appreciate, a gift that grabs a hold of their heart, that even those around them, as they see the incredible joy on the face of that person, even those around them are affected greatly by this. Now, Trish and I can't say I wrapped the gifts because I'm not very good at that. I wrapped a couple this last year, but I'm sure as Trish and I purchased the gift and as Trish was wrapping the gift, She didn't realize just how amazing this response would be. She probably recognized that this is something that Savannah would want, and she would appreciate it, and this is something that she would like. We got her an Alexa the year before, and it was, hey, this is super cool. This was like off the charts. Like, I've never seen this before in my life. But all that to say that as we're wrapping the gift, the love that we have for her as we're going to give that gift to her doesn't change based upon her response. The love that we have for her, the care that we have for her, the genuine compassion and desire that we have for her doesn't change regardless of how she responds to the gift. That's how we are as we give gifts. Jesus said to the people he was talking to, the Jews and the Pharisees, he said, you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more your Heavenly Father. If you, human beings, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more your Heavenly Father knows how to give a good gift to you. The question becomes, how do we respond to that love for us, to that gift? How do we respond to that love for us, to that gift? This is part of what John is talking about in John 3. John records here a conversation that Jesus has had with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus has a question for him. How am I supposed to have eternal life? Jesus says, you must be born again. John says, how is that even possible that I can be born again? Is it possible for a human to go back up into the womb of his mother? And all the mothers in the room go, ugh. Right? Jesus says, no, that's not possible. That's not what I'm talking about. You must be born of the Holy Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. John says, how can this be? And then Jesus is going to explain to John how it is that someone is born of the Holy Spirit, how someone has eternal life. And the way in which someone has eternal life, the way in which someone is born of the Holy Spirit, is that God gave his Son to the world to lay down his life for the world. So that in laying down his life for the world, the sin of the world, the brokenness of the world, the corruption of the world, all of the things that hamper us on a daily basis might be transferred over to the Son, who would then die, be buried, and raised again to remove brokenness, death, corruption, sin. This is the gift of the Father. This is what happens when the Father loves. He gives his Son. But in John 3:16 through 21, Jesus also outlines two responses to that gift, to that love. That love can be accepted or that love can be rejected. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is something very familiar to us. If you watch NFL football, chances are there's going to be a goalpost and there's going to be somebody standing there with a giant sign that says John 3:16, right? One of the most familiar verses in all of creation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But then he says in verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Father, we ask that you would Bless your word this morning. Cause it to go out and cause it to work in the hearts of each of us. We are in need of seeing the beauty and the majesty of your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You'll notice here in John 3:16, as John begins to explain what it means for God to love the world, and for this love to be accepted or rejected, there's one thing that's happening here that's consistent through the whole passage. And the one thing that's consistent through the whole passage is that it's God who loves the world. It's God who loves the world. It is God who loves the world. The passage doesn't say, for the world so loved God that he gave his only son. What would that look like? What that would look like is it would look like God is kind of far off going, not so sure about that group down there. And the world saying, but God, we love you so much. And because we love you so much, you should send your son down to us. Because we have loved you so much, there's something in us that's worthy of you sending your son. Because we have cared for you, because we are so worthy, because there's something that we have done somehow to rub the lamp just right to make the genie come out. Lord, because we've loved you so much, you should send your son. No, what does it say? It says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Not that there was anything in the world that required God to love it. Not that there was a single person in the world that required God to love it. In fact, in the original language, this was written in Greek originally, in the original language, the so loved, this so word, so is actually at the front of the sentence. In our English language, we can't do that. In Greek, you can. You can put that so at the beginning of the sentence. It's so much he loved the world. It not only is a qualitative kind of love, the kind of love it is, but it's also what's called quantitative, how God loved the world. So how did God love the world? How did God love the world? He so loved the world. We so loved Savannah that we realized that when she loved these books, we gave her these books. We recognized there was something about her, unique to her, special about her. We understood that, and we wanted to see that met. God loving us looks down and says, I love them so greatly, and I see their need so clearly that there is only one answer to how I can show them my love. There's only one way that I can ultimately show them how much I love them. One way. For God so loved the world that we so loved Savannah that this love doesn't stand far off and say, I appreciate you have a need, but I'm really not interested in engaging. Good luck with your need. This is a for God so loved that he engaged with the world. He saw the world in desperate need. He saw the world in desperate despair. He saw the world in brokenness. He saw a world that he had created from the beginning out of an overflow of his love that had turned against him and removed itself in a relationship to him. And he said, I desire to redeem that people. They're human. I love them. They must be redeemed. How am I going to do it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. This is my boy. This is my son. This is my heart. This is the joy of my joy, the love of my love. the thrill of my thrill, the overflowing love and consolation of the Father's heart right with him at his side. And he said, "Son, I love you so much. I have loved you for all eternity, and we have shared in this love. And they need it. Because apart from us, they have nothing. We created them to share in this love. We created them to enjoy this love. We created them to participate in this love. They need to be saved. How do we save humanity? My son, I love you. Will you go?" And the son says, "Yes, I will go. And I will become one of them. Never being separated from you, my Father, always loving you, my Father, always walking with you, my Father, always wanting to please you, my Father, always enjoying your love for me, my Father. I will become entirely, truly human for them, that I might give my life for them and take the death that they deserve, take the death that they've brought into the world, take the brokenness that belongs to them, and I will run all the way to a Roman cross and I will die for them." And the Father says, "Go." And now we see Jesus' baptism, where he goes into the water and he comes up out of the water, and the first thing that you hear from the Father in the New Testament is, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. Listen to him. He gave his only Son. Now, there's something very unique about what happens when a parent decides to save someone. When a parent decides to save someone. It's one thing to see a paramedic show up, which is wonderful. We need paramedics. It's another thing to see a doctor in an emergency room. It's another thing to see a firefighter show up. It's another thing to see a police officer show up. It's another thing to see a coach come in and help a kid, maybe on the field, to help save them from something. For us who are parents in here, or who have parents in here, that would be all of us. There's something very unique when you see a mother come to the aid of a child. There's something very unique when you see a father rush to the aid of a child. There is something very significant about that kind of love. So what does it mean for the Father to desire to save a people? He saves them as a father would. He saves them as a parent would. He saves them with a filial love, a kind of love that gushes forth, a kind of love that sacrifices, a kind of love that's willing to put at risk what's most important, to save that child. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." This idea of believing in him is continually believing. What does it mean to believe in God? What does it mean to have a relationship with Jesus? It means to recognize that the Father has loved you so much. And you being born into a state of separation from him have rejected that love. You've not desired to have him be God and to have him be the one who loves you and cares for you and provides for you and walks with you and care and holds you near to him. There's been the rejection of his love. And what he does in response to that is not to reject you. He says, "No, I'm going to send my Son, my only Son." And as soon as the Spirit of God opens your eyes to the beauty of the fact that you are in need of a Savior, you indeed need Jesus to be your Savior, that he did indeed come down for you, being truly God and truly human. He came down for you, became human for you, went to a Roman cross for you, died for you, took your sin, your death, your brokenness, your shame, all upon himself, was buried in the grave for 3 days and resurrected to life for you. When you recognize that to be true, that's the Holy Spirit doing the work in your heart. And you begin to believe, you understand that it's true. It's true. It's true. I was about 7 years old at a VBS in Strasburg, Colorado. It's a real place. I'm not making this up. You have to go east of the Rockies about 60 miles, 45 to 60 miles. It starts to look like Kansas. You could test nuclear warheads out there, and all the anybody who would care, just the prairie dogs. That's the only thing that would really. So I go to a VBS. I'm about 7 years old. And the lady who's teaching, I don't remember anything she taught. Nothing. Don't remember a thing. Except when she started to describe the gospel and how Jesus had died on the cross for my sins, that he gave his life for me. And she said, if you believe that, I want you to pray with me. And in that moment, I realized, this is true. This is true. As if I've always known it, but I had never heard it. As if I'd always known it, but I had never heard it. And this is true. The Spirit of God said, I'm going to let you know right now that this is true. Those who believe, who continue to believe, those who recognize who he is and say yes to him. Yes, I want him. I believe him. He is true. He is wonderful. He is mighty. He is marvelous. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. When God looks at the world that is separated from him, we can see the evidence all around us. We can see the evidence all around us. Historians estimate that in all of the recorded history of man, there's only approximately 130 years of world peace. 7,000 years or so of recorded history of man, 6,000 years of recorded history of man, somewhere around there, only 130 years of world peace. What that means is that mankind has been doing this constantly. What do we see in Ukraine? What do we see in Kosovo? What do we see with the slave trade in the 1700s, 1500s, 1600s? What do you see in Ireland between the IRA, between the Catholics and the Protestants? What do you see in the Cold War? What do you see between the Greeks and the Romans and the Macedonians? Right? For thousands and thousands and thousands of years, humanity has been fighting with one another. And so when the Father sends his Son into the earth, he says, this is the Prince of Peace. This is the one who brings peace. Peace to your soul, peace to your heart, peace to your families, peace to your life. He will redeem you. He will reclaim you. He will renew you. He will clean you up. He will cleanse your heart. He will give you a new heart. He'll save you. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order the world might be saved through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. When you stand before God, he has one question for you. One question. And it's not, did you have a good time at VBS or kids camp? One question. He has one question. He says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Did you listen to him? He is your life. He is your hope. He is your salvation. He is human on your behalf because you needed a substitute. You needed a replacement. You needed a human who would always be in relationship with the Father perfectly so that you also, being with him, united to him by faith, might be treated exactly as the Son is treated. You need him. And the Father looks at you and says, behold my Son. Did you listen to him? If you listen to him, all of the brokenness is removed, and you will come into relationship with him. If you don't listen to him, you remain in a state of being separated from him, desperately in need of a Savior, desperately in need of a Father to come and save you, desperately in need of his Son, your brother Jesus, to come and save you, to bring you back into the family. To bring you back into the family. And so John can say, those who've believed are saved. Those who reject this love that the Father has for them continue to be closed off from him. Continue to reject what he has to offer them. Continue to want to run away from him and hide. Continue to want to live life as if he doesn't matter. As if there's not one who we're intended to be toward. Just down here instead of there. And John says, the person who rejects Jesus, the person who rejects this gift, the one who rejects this love, stands in a position of being condemned. They're broken. They're broken. Verse 21, but whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The one who responds to the beauty and the wonder and the offering of salvation that is in Christ proves that God is true as they respond to him, and they prove the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. And they don't stand there saying, look what a good person I am. Hey, look how awesome I am. Look what I've earned. Look what I've done. No, they look back at God and they say, look what he's done. Look what Christ has done. Look at how wonderful he is. He came to save me. And I love him. So, when God loves, there are two ways you can respond. You can accept that love, or you can reject that love. But the Heavenly Father continues to point out to his Son, and he says, behold my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Will you listen to him? Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your mercy, your loving kindness, your faithfulness to us. We thank you that when we were lost, your Son Jesus came that we might be found. When we had rejected you, you still loved us. When we brought brokenness and conflict and sin and death into this world, your Son Jesus came into this world and went to a Roman cross and took all of that upon himself that he might unite us to him by faith, giving us eternal life in his name. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. We thank you, we praise you, we thank you for the wonderful gift of your Son Jesus, that he willingly offered himself up, laid his life down, that we might have eternal life with him and with you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I would ask you to stand as we sing hymn 56, Glory.